Good afternoon, folks. It's that time of the day again. Time for the elephant in the room here on WJAS 1320 AM and Talk 99.1 FM. Folks, we are joined in studio today, as usual. Thankfully, the gang is all here. We have our trusty executive director, man of few words, John Schnader.
Thanks, Sam.
John, thanks for joining us today.
Happy holidays.
And we have our producer, the man of, you know, I don't want to call you a jack of all trades, master of none.
Oh, no.
Because you're a jack of all trades, master of some.
There you go. Okay? There you go.
See, and that's our producer, dazzling, dandy, Daryl Grandy. Well, Daryl, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Sam. Welcome and happy holidays. I'll echo John Sedman. Happy holidays.
Well, happy holidays to you and happy holidays to all of our listeners out there. Folks, we have a great show today. One, here we are. We're entering the holiday season. We're riding a wave. I mean, let's face it. We had some tremendous victories here in this past November's election. You know, we reelected President Donald J. Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance to send them to the White House. We elected. I mean, my gosh, we took down the Bob Casey, you know, dynasty with Dave McCormick. I mean, you know, there hasn't been a defeat like that since David took down Goliath, okay? And Dave McCormick did it. And folks, I can't tell you how excited I am because he is going to be a transformational senator. This is a man who is ready to go, who has a vision, who's ready to lead. And I believe you'll see that from him coming out of the gate on day one. And then we won all three statewide row offices with our treasurer, Stacey Garrity, receiving more votes, ladies and gentlemen, than any other statewide candidate has in the history of this Commonwealth. We also elected an attorney general, Dave Sunday. Dave Sunday has been on this show a number of times, and for everybody who's had the opportunity to meet him, recognizes what a dynamic dynamic district attorney he is. I mean, Dave is the district attorney in York County. He's done phenomenal things out there, you know, believes in both holding folks who commit crimes accountable, but then also believes in redemption and trying to help them get back on their feet after they've served their time or paid their dues to society so that they don't reoffend and get back in the system. And then we reelected my favorite auditor. If he hasn't told you he's an auditor and you weren't paying attention during the campaign, but that's our auditor general, Tim DeFore. So, I mean, we maintained the balance in the state Senate. Here in Allegheny County, we reelected Devlin Robinson, who won handily over Nicole Resito. We took and retained and reelected every single Republican House incumbent that we had. Now, do I wish we had been more successful? Do I wish some of our House candidates would have won? Do I wish Jen Dentini, who ran a great race in the 45th State Senatorial District, would have been able to prevail? Absolutely. But folks, all said, I think we had a great November, and here we are rolling into the holidays, and you know, we talk about what's going on at the White House. I don't know much is going on at the White House other than them fetching ice cream and pudding, you know, for the current occupant, you know, Joe Biden, because, and we're going to talk about this with our guest here in just a minute, but one of the things, folks, that's unique about this, you've never seen before, is President Trump, while only president-elect, is almost like de facto the actual president of the United States because world leaders are coming to see him. They're inviting him to, you know, world events. I mean, it's just something incredible. So we have a great show today. I'm really excited about it, but I'm even more excited about my next guest here, okay? After graduating from Beaver Area High School in 2008, this gentleman enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. Hoorah!
Hoorah!
As an infantry rifleman. As a Marine, he deployed to Afghanistan in support of Operation Enduring Freedom and the Global War on Terror, and to Latvia in support of Operation Saber Strike. And you know, folks, that I have a soft spot in my heart for Marines, okay? As being one. In 2013, he bought his first home in downtown Slippery Rock and enrolled at Slippery Rock University of Pennsylvania. He graduated from Slippery Rock with a bachelor's degree in history in 2015, the recipient of the Dr. Mark Mraz Memorial Scholarship for Secondary Education. He also graduated with a master's degree in Secondary Education Social Studies in 2017. Now, here's where that path of Marines diverges because he's much smarter than I am, folks. Now, it was during his time as a graduate student that he sought to serve his community as mayor and would go on to become the youngest mayor in Slippery Rock's history. Folks, I want to welcome to the show John David Longo, known as JD to his friends. JD, welcome to the show, my friend.
Sam, thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure to come down here to the Steel City to spend time with my friends and neighbors in Allegheny County. So again, it's a real pleasure. And Semper Fi to you, sir. It's great to always commune with fellow Marines as well.
And Semper Fi to you, my friend.
Thank you.
You know, always faithful. And it's always great. And this is why, you know, I mean, I think, JD, seeing the success and your growth, you know, in your role as mayor of Slippery Rock and what you've tried to do in helping build the Republican Party, you know, both in Butler County and other areas, seeing how active you were this past election cycle in registering folks to vote, you know, I mean, all of these things contributed to that success we had in November. And, you know, I wish I had your energy, but can't thank you enough, you know, for everything you did. It's phenomenal. And, you know, on behalf of all of the Republicans in Allegheny County, thank you for joining with the folks like Scott Pressler, Noah Formica, and everyone else.
Thank you, Sam.
That went out there to do that.
I think I speak for all of us whenever I say that there are no thanks needed, because it was such an honor to be able to play a part in this victory that we're all getting to enjoy now. It's been the honor of a lifetime to work hand-in-hand with folks like you down here in Allegheny County and people all across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the United States of America. So thank you for the opportunity to join you.
Well, listen, it is our pleasure. We're happy you were able to. And man, we have a lot of, you know, things to talk about. Now, I was just commenting before I introduced you here, we were talking about how unique it is to have the president-elect actually functioning in this lame duck period as essentially the president of the United States. Joe Biden is basically, you know, invisible.
Yeah.
And President-elect Trump, you know, is out there and again commanding on the world stage here, you know, going to events such as the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral, you know, in Paris, where he was, you know, welcomed enthusiastically by world leaders, right? And then entertaining them in Mar-a-Lago. I mean, it's just, and I think, I mean, this is something that folks, you may not be aware of, you may not be paying attention, but you should, because, ladies and gentlemen, this is history in the making.
Surely. And I think it's totally representative of the fact that what we all thought was happening was true. And that was that the world leaders around the globe understood that our president, Joe Biden, wasn't really in control and he wasn't fulfilling his duties as leader. And so I think that's why now world leaders are so eager to deal with President Trump. They know that he's, well, he's always had their respect. And if it wasn't outright respect, it was fear because President Trump was a no-nonsense kind of guy. But it is amazing to see their reception of him on the world stage right now. And it's even more entertaining to see all those many individuals and world leaders who didn't have a whole lot of nice things to say about President Trump over these last 4 to 6 years. And yet here they are falling head over heels for him in places like Notre Dame. And they can't wait to shake his hand because everybody's getting in line right now to kiss the ring. They know that we're going back to the business of being exceptional Americans, as was expected of us since our founding.
No, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. And you know, I mean, I when you talk about this, and then you brought up, you mentioned about how many folks had said things about him in the whole bit, but you could talk about how much people's opinions prior to this election were colored by the reports that they got out of the media and things of that nature, and now we find out how much of it is all lies. For example, the Wall Street Journal on Thursday of this week, they had a front page report, very long story, where they interviewed over 50 folks, close Biden, you know, administration officials, confidence, and things like that, who basically came out and said, this president has been diminished for quite a while. I mean, some brought up as early as 2019, before he was even elected, you know, him forgetting words, having to have been giving multiple instructions by staff as to how to enter or to, you know, go up on a stage, things that would be obvious to any, you know, normally functioning human being, right? But yet the media, until June 27th of this past year, or this year, when President Trump demolished him in that debate, were insisting on telling us how he was sharp as a tack, had all the energy, young folks couldn't keep up, you know, all these different things. So what good is the media if they won't tell us the truth?
Right. And, you know, we've been unable to really trust with the mainstream or legacy media has had to say for a long time. And I think that that's been the general consensus for most of us for a long time. But the problem was, Sam, in my opinion, is that for so long, we didn't have any other opportunities to get our news. And so now what we've seen, and thank goodness for the Elon Musks of the world, for
right.
X,
oh my gosh, yes.
For citizen journalists and broadcasters like yourself, people like you who are taking the message straight from the ground through a medium that's uncensored, that allows people to get their news unfettered and without shackles, straight from the source, so to speak, without having to go through that that lens. And thank goodness, because it was able to kind of pull the veil back on what it was that they were trying to sell us on Joe Biden's normal functionality, or at least its so-called functionality, and to pull the veil back on the awful lens through which they wanted us all to view President Trump and Vice President Vance. You know, I'm just going to call him Vice President Vance now, because he's my vice president.
It works for me.
Absolutely. You know, it's just incredible how the people have decided to buck back against the mainstream narrative that's been offered. And I've seen it nowhere more than on X, Sam. I know you spent some time with us on X, formerly known as Twitter. And it's incredible how the people have been able to get their message across now more than ever. And people are listening. Our representatives in government are listening, and that's obvious because of even what we just saw yesterday with the CR bill that was being pushed along. And it turns out that the overwhelming majority of people decided to contact their representatives through mediums like X and said, hey, you know, we don't want you to go along with this, or at least start to ask questions. Maybe there's a better way that we can go about doing this. So, you know, kudos to folks like you for offering shows like this to get the news out there.
Well, JD, that was the intent of this show. Prior to us having this show, we started about 2 years ago. If a Republican candidate here that wasn't already in office with a platform, you know, was trying to get their name out or do anything, they were restricted to the couple seconds that the network news or that folks would give them, you know, in a soundbite that would come out. I wanted to create sort of a longer length platform that would give folks the ability to come on the show to explain, you know, who they are, their background, talk about why are they running, what do they think is important. You know, and they say all politics is local, and really, to a large degree, it is. Talk about what's important to the constituents or the voters in their districts.
Sure.
You know, and try to make that case, to give them that opportunity. And then, I mean, you being as the mayor, I having served on Allegheny County Council for over 9 years, I understand that nothing is ever as black and white as some of these folks would like it to be. You know, I mean, so much of it is gray, and that's where we'll talk about the CR and things of that. But so this is why we did the show. And again, and to your point, God bless Elon Musk.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm a big believer in free speech, you know, and, you know, I served my country just as you did, and we would die defending the right for folks to say the things that they want to say, regardless of whether we find it offensive, whether we detest it, whether we think it's disgusting.
Right.
But the point is, you know, these things, the best way to address them is to talk about them in public, you know, and defeat them.
Yes.
You know, there, right? So Elon Musk gave us that opportunity. And then we saw, how much did we see after his acquisition of Twitter, how much the federal government was involved and try to censor us. And we lived through this with the COVID pandemic. But shutting down and deplatforming people, you know, who were telling the truth, but for things that they didn't like, okay? And that takes you down a dark road. You know, so it's good that we were able to take and defeat that. And Elon Musk putting his money where his mouth is. And, you know, I mean, my gosh, $44 billion to buy, you know, Twitter. And then, you know, he does, and then you came out, all these companies start blackballing him.
Right.
You know, so it's, to me, he's a patriot.
Absolutely.
You know, and I hope we're able to keep him on our side. The guy is a genius.
Undoubtedly.
You know, and if he could take some of the things that he's done in business and help us introduce them to government in a way to make it more efficient and productive, you know, I'm all in.
And I think that's what it's all about, really. You know, a lot of folks will say, well, the guy hasn't been elected, so why are we allowing him to have so much influence over decision-making for us? And I think it's because for so long we've given the reins over to people who don't understand business, and we need people with business acumen to get in there to put us back on a good track, because if our financial status is not in good order, then what does that leave us as a country as a whole? So,
but you just brought up a great point. You said these people are coming to you and saying, you know, who are we to allow this guy that hasn't been elected to come in and tell us what to do? But essentially, that's what the federal government has done for years and years and years. And that's, folks, what we call the administrative state.
Absolutely.
You know, Congress has abdicated its role, you know, in that's R-O-L-E here, to allow the administrative state and unelected bureaucrats to pass rules, R-U-L-E-S, okay, that govern how we conduct our lives, business, and everything else. And that's what's wrong. And one of the greatest things President Trump did in his first term was to say, for every new federal regulation, we have to get rid of two.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, and he ended up getting rid of far more than a 2-to-1, right? But that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely.
In this next administration, because government is best when it gets out of the way.
Certainly.
You know, let the free market, let the entrepreneurial spirit,
definitely,
you know, in this kind of, let that run free, reign free.
Amen.
You know, and we will see economic growth, the likes of which so many in this country, you have never seen before. So I'm very excited about that. But hey, you know how President Trump used to talk about when he gave his speeches, he wasn't rambling, he was weaving.
Right.
Well, Sam DeMarco's weaving here too, folks. Okay? This is my weaving.
We enjoy the weaving. It's, you know, good. It's
so
good.
Let's take that back to the CR, right?
Let's go back to it.
So you have Speaker Johnson who's there, and he recognizes that Republicans only control one house of the three in government. He recognizes that he can't do everything on his own, and he's going to have to do some things, so he starts compromising with Democrats. Well, it's like a snowball rolling down the hill, because then people start packing this resolution with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Speaker Johnson doesn't want the president to come into office and have the government shut down, because that's going to inhibit his ability to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in those first 100 days. Okay? So he potentially agreed to some things that he absolutely shouldn't have in a normal period. And we've been hearing, I mean, I've been involved in this back since I got involved in 2009 with the Tea Party initially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when things went off the rails with Congress. Instead of passing the individual appropriations bills, started going to these omnibus and continuing resolutions, right? And we got to get back to the individual appropriations bills so that we can debate those and keep this stuff out. But anyway, folks, so there was a bill, it was like 1,500 pages. It was dropped on the floor. Folks didn't have time to read it. And then some of the things that were in it started getting out. And, you know, you had the taxpayers, the citizens of this country, just step up and say, hey, enough. You know, and that led President Trump to weigh in and say, hey, this thing can't pass.
Right.
You know, so that bill can't pass and it shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have folks out there who are sitting there and saying, you can't raise the debt limit, can't raise the debt limit. You know, I understand that feeling. But the facts are that debt limit is going to get raised because it has to. You know, there's a lot of things that are broken in Washington, a lot of things that we have to fix. But folks, let's not demand, I don't want to call it the impossible, but let's not, I mean, theoretically, you could say, well, we're not going to raise it. In which case you would, you know, shut down a large portion of the government and you could cause significant pain to many of your fellow Americans, you know, folks on Social Security or, you know, folks in the VA health system or, you know, all these different things. But we have to do something to address it. And I believe President Trump and his team, economic advisors, have an idea in place. You know, he wants to take and unleash energy across this country. He wants to get, you know, sell this energy and use some of this money to pay down, you know, our debt. We can sell property. I mean, right now, I think the federal government owns at least a third of all the property here in this country.
Yes, sir.
Okay, why do they need that? I mean, we just saw that not even 6%, or they say only 6% of federal workers are actually showing up to work. So we're paying billions of dollars.
Don't get me started on that one, Sam.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, I want to take this in a little bit of a different direction because...
the weave. You're allowed to have your own weave.
I do have my own weave, but there's something that I keep coming back to. You know, speaking of my time in the Marine Corps, you know, I was in the Marines through the 2013 shutdown under then the Obama administration. And a lot of people came to me and said, well, JD, you're in the Marine Corps. You know, you're technically a federal worker. What do you have to say about this whenever it comes to you and your fellow Marines, veterans, people who are living on veterans' pensions, etc.? What do you have to say about those individuals who might have to go without a paycheck for a little while? And as much as it would have pained me and my fellow Marines to go without it, what I really want to say is shame on a lot of these lawmakers who have shown us that they did not have the ability to have a good future planning schedule because they knew forever that this was coming up. And I'm so sick and tired of a lot of these politicians holding the livelihood of federal workers hostage in a time like Christmas where they say, well, if you don't pass it, you're going to put a lot of these people out of money. And yes, while I agree that's certainly the case, shame on them. Particularly, there are a lot of Democrat lawmakers who are saying, shame on Republicans, shame on Elon Musk, shame on Donald Trump, who are going to make all of these people, federal workers, go without pay during the holiday season. You know, to them, I just want to say, shame on you. You're the ones that put us in this position. If you had been proactive instead of expecting all of the American public and the entirety of the United States Congress to shove through a 1,500-plus page omnibus with only a few hours to read it, that includes, by the way, opportunities for pay raises for members of Congress who only have to show up 149 days out of the year, right, and get $174,000, paid haircuts, paid lodging, paid travel, etc., on top of everything else. I think it's a great disservice to all of us in the United States, and shame on them for doing that. But to your point, Sam, you know, I am a practical guy. I've worked inside government for a while now, almost 8 years. I understand how some of these things work. And while I don't want the president to inherit a government that is shut down, I do think that everybody in Congress right now should do the responsible thing for all of the Americans who are involved here and at stake and say, you know what, maybe we just need to clean up this resolution language a little bit to keep the government running.
Pass a clean CR.
Bingo.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So herein lies the problem with special interests. And I think that this is why a lot of Americans have been so frustrated that sometimes they're willing to make some of these statements that say, well, I don't care. Just burn it all down to the ground. Well, we know that that's not practical either.
Right.
There's got to be a middle ground, but every lawmaker has a duty to us to clean up the language in that bill to make sure that we have a government that is going to continue to function at its very even minimal level to make sure that things are going to be moving so that when President Trump takes office, he can implement the America First agenda that the United States overwhelmingly has voted in favor of.
You and I agree. We are in complete sync and in agreement on that, right? Just pass a clean CR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, none of this extra stuff for anybody, right? So you avoid the shutdown, you move forward, and President Trump is able to come in and do the things he needs to do. Now, my other frustration lies with some members on our side, JD. And I go back to when Speaker McCarthy was removed, you know, and Matt Gaetz and some of these folks, okay? There are 435 members in the House of the Representatives. So one individual doesn't have that much power. You have the Speaker who's trying to manage a majority. It's only, I mean, it's less than a handful of members, right? So we can't afford to have folks jumping off the ship. And it's like you wonder sometimes how many of these people have heard the phrase, united we stand, divided we fall. Because you'll get someone out there that just decides, well, I'm going to stand up because I want to go on the talk shows.
Sure.
Or I want to be on cable news. And they'll refuse to go along with something which only necessitates the Speaker having to go to Democrats to try to get something to keep things moving. All the Republicans that are there, I don't want to say get in line, meaning, you know, you surrender your principles and values, but I think they need to look at the bigger picture, which is we have an opportunity to do some historic, you know, things in this Trump administration.
Right.
Let's not handicap ourselves, you know, before we even come into office.
Yeah, and it's a shame to see a lot of this infighting. But I will speak, though, on behalf of, I think, maybe perhaps my constituents and people who are up north in my area, because the things that I'm hearing, and I think that this is what it's really coming down to, Sam, is that a lot of these individuals on our side of the aisle are being held to task by the people who voted for this America First agenda, the MAGA mm-hmm. agenda. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it really comes down to the overwhelming frustration that many Americans are feeling in that some are getting so desperate in that they're saying, now at this point, we refuse to take anything less than exactly what it is that we have called for. And it's it can be problematic for a government that's trying to function. But then many also take a look at it and say that sometimes the best thing a government can do is to do absolutely nothing. And so there are many people who think that this is a good thing. And I got to be honest with you, Sam, sometimes I'm inclined to agree with them whenever I think, okay, just why don't we let the government folks sweat a little bit and see how this goes out? Because you and I have to sweat all the time, you know? And so it's really interesting to see these two separate sides of the same token.
Here's the thing. I think it's advantageous to us when Congress isn't in session.
Yeah.
Meaning they're not doing anything that screws anything up.
Right.
Okay. But I think it's a different thing if the whole government were to shut down, right?
Sure.
But no, you're absolutely right. And folks, we're going to talk a lot more about this and other things right after the break. But we're going to have to take a break here. We want to pay the bills on The Elephant in the Room on WJAS, 1320 AM, 99.1 FM Talk. We'll be right back after the break with Mayor J.D. Longo from Slippery Rock in just a minute. Folks, welcome back to The Elephant in the Room here. We're joined by Mayor J.D. Longo of Slippery Rock. We were just talking a little bit earlier about the CR and the debate that's taking place in Washington, how the taxpayers, you folks, the citizens, found out what was bad in this bill and rose up, made calls to your senators and your congressmen and said, hey, don't be passing that in a little bit. And just talking about some of the tension that's in there.
Yeah.
I know, J.D., you're a little bit north of here. So, your folks and my folks are a little bit different. I mean, you are a solid stalwart.
It's blood red, Tim.
Yes, you are blood red. You are, you are MAGA, America First.
110%.
And me, I run between people that respect what I do.
Yes,
people that call me a rhino. Okay. Yeah. Yes, I'm the rhino down here, folks. Okay.
It makes you feel better, Sam, I have Republicans as well in my area that call me a rhino too. So, so if you and I Marines are we're rhinos, then
JD, we want to tell them, okay? For all you folks that think we're rhinos, we're not rhinos. We're hippos. And hippos kill more humans. Twice as many in Africa than lions.
That's okay? The Marine coming out now, Sam.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You're like, thank you so much.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But no, look, folks, hey, we can all agree to disagree. That's what makes America great. That's why JD and I both served. And, we said we're willing to die to defend your right to free speech. Okay?
Certainly.
Just please think before you. The thing before you speak.
Yeah, I've heard some stupid things, Sam.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
so you just had, on Tuesday of this week, you just had a tremendous honor, J.D.
Yeah.
You served as an elector, for the Electoral College here in Pennsylvania. Do you want to tell the folks a little bit about that?
I'm glad to talk about it, Sam. I think it's something that, and it's not a brag. It's not a brag at all. A lot of people say, how lucky you are, and I'm jealous and I'm sensitive to that. And yes, I am blessed and I'm lucky to have been able to do that. But when I talk about it, it's not a brag because I truly feel that in that moment, when I got to take the position and take the place of one of those 19 electoral votes, I wasn't voting. Pennsylvania was voting through my vote. I was carrying over 3 million votes for President Trump and Vice President Vance. And I sat there and, it didn't really sink in for me, Sam, until we walked into the Pennsylvania State House of Representatives in Harrisburg's Capitol building. And we're sitting there on the floor of the House. And I'm looking at just the beauty, the magnificence of the State House. And I'm sure you've been inside there.
It's one of the most beautiful buildings in America.
It's amazing. And, even our national capital, honestly, could stand to take some inspiration from our state capital, but I digress. I'm sitting there, I'm looking at these beautiful murals of, on the right side of the speaker's podium, you have our founding fathers there at Independence Hall. And then right behind the speaker's podium, you have, again, some of Pennsylvania's foremost leaders and founders. And to the left, you have the Quakers, and they're sitting there, and they're dealing with Native Americans there, and I'm just looking and I'm thinking, my goodness, as the gavel pounded, what a great history that I have the honor of participating in the 60th Electoral College of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And something that Al Schmidt, the Secretary of the Commonwealth, said to us was, there are only so many who have come here before you to do this. Just a little over 1,000.
Right.
In two centuries.
Yes.
Right. That have gotten to do this. And then he told one of my favorite stories that I tell to my students in my history classes that I teach. And it was the story of Benjamin Franklin having somebody approach him after all of the business of the founders was done. And they said, you know, Mr. Franklin, what is it? What do we have? And he said, a republic if you can keep it. And again, I just thought it was the honor of a lifetime, Sam, to be able to participate in the process that makes this republic great that we have and strong. And knowing full well that on January 20th, whenever I go to Washington, that I'm going to get to witness yet another peaceful transfer of power that in some way I had a way of participating in by casting that electoral vote. So I just want to thank everybody who's listening here. And even those of you who did not vote for our candidate, our Republican candidate, President Trump, thank you for affording me the opportunity to represent you in the Electoral College, that the voice of Pennsylvania and votes of Pennsylvania might be heard. I'm really thinking that it was one of those moments, Sam, like whenever you get called a Marine for the first time by your drill instructor.
Yes.
And he puts an Eagle Globe and Anchor in your hand and says, well done. This is one of those moments for me. You know, I can think of a few. Being a United States Marine, marrying my wife, the love of my life. Soon I'll have a daughter coming in February. And when I think about that, I get butterflies. But this moment in the Electoral College, my goodness. I mean, words can't really describe what it is that I got to feel. So thank you for you as well, you know, for affording me the opportunity, sir, to represent you there.
Well, it is a tremendous honor, and you're part of history. Now, we won't go too far into this, but, you know, I was an elector in 2020.
Yes, yeah.
And if President Trump had won, it would have been, you know, one of the highest honors of my life.
Yeah.
To be able to do that and to cast that vote. So I'm envious of you.
Well,
but so respectful and appreciate everything.
Thank you, Sam.
That goes into that. I mean,
it's, and thank you for doing your duty.
You deserved it.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You deserved it. And you know, folks, again, we're talking to a young guy. Pay attention and remember that name, because you're going to hear it again in the future. I think JD has some very bright things, you know, ahead of him, whatever he chooses to do. But he has a lovely wife and with a daughter on the way. I mean, you are the American dream.
I really am.
You
Sam.
Know, Slippery Rock is so fortunate
to
have you and the students to come to your class to hear your perspective and history.
Thank you.
I mean, you're certainly the better for it.
Do you mind if I just want, you just said something. You said you're the American dream, and I appreciate you saying that, because I think something that might separate me from a lot of others is the fact that I'm the product. I mean, we're all the product of immigrants, but I'm very, very near to my immigrant mm-hmm. family, and that, you know, my father just came here from Italy in 1988. My mother's family came here literally through Ellis Island in 1906, both from Italy. But the reason I say that is because when you take a look at that history and where it is that both my mother's family and my father came from in impoverished southern Italy with really no infrastructure and not a whole lot of opportunity for anything, the fact that I'm getting to sit here with you today and tell you about my experience in a place like the Electoral College lets me know and lets us all know and reminds us that only in the United States could the son of impoverished immigrants get to a spot like this where he could have the honor of enjoying fulfilling these duties. So I have achieved a lot of the American dream, and I'm blessed to be able to say that. So thank you.
I think so many of us out there, you know, have. I mean, you know, we're how closely we are here.
Yeah.
My paternal grandparents
mm-hmm.
both came from Italy here.
Yes, sir.
You know, in the early 1900s, you know, married, and you know, so they were from the old country. And you know, I tell the story when I was first elected to serve in Allegheny County as the councilman at large and representing the entire county, is part of my remarks. I brought up that as a child, I used to love to go visit my grandmother. Okay. One of the favorite things that I got to do. And my mom would take me down on the streetcar sometimes, come down. We lived in Mount Washington, to go downtown and meet grandma. And she would take me to her work. And my grandmother, she worked as a cleaning woman for the county in the city county building, you know, cleaned offices after hours. And then, you know, when she, so we, I would just follow her around with her and help her. And when she was done, we would go home, and she would do what all grandparents do, which is love and spoil their grandchildren.
Yeah.
You know, I was her oldest grandson. And, you know, but so when I gave my remarks at County Council, I talked about how honored and proud I was, you know, that and that she would be to see me go from where she was as a cleaning woman there to me voting on the $1 billion budgets, you know, that oversee the operations of a county.
Only in America, Sam, right? Only
yes,
in America.
And, And you know what? And these stories that we're talking about that we've lived mm-hmm. in our own families, these are stories that so many of our listeners out there have as well.
Yeah.
You know, they've Certainly. Been through these same things, and it's just, it's phenomenal. Like you said, you know, you say only in America
yeah.
could this happen. That's why this is the greatest country that has ever faced, excuse me, yes, has ever graced the face of this earth.
Amen.
I mean, yes, unbelievable. So what's next, my friend?
Oh, gosh.
You talking about the inauguration?
Yes. Yeah. So next, you know, my intent is to go to Washington to watch the peaceful transfer of power and to see President Donald J. Trump and Vice President Vance take their roles at the helm of this country and get it back on track and implement the America First agenda that we're all looking forward to in restoring us to our rightful glory as exceptional Americans. Which again, I can say that I witnessed in 2016 in person on the Capitol lawn, and what an awesome experience. If you are near Washington, I highly recommend it. Look, even if you're not a Republican, go and witness this great historic moment. It will make you proud to be an American, and that we're one of the very few places on earth where we can continue to transfer power like this without strangling one another, which is yes. not what a lot of people on earth get to enjoy. I mean, most people don't even get to participate mm-hmm. in an election, and if they do, it's rigged entirely, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, how lucky we are to do that. So
hey,
that's
ask
next.
The folks in Venezuela about that.
Exactly, yeah. right? You know, or even, again, when I was in Afghanistan, you know, these folks didn't get to enjoy any of the things that are just normal to us. And so, I highly recommend you taking time to go there. And even if you can't make the inauguration, folks, just go there to be there around the energy. Come down the 18th, the 19th, the 20th. Come and see the parade. There's going to be a great number of festivities the night before the inauguration. Go and take your family if you're able to and bundle up because it'll be cold. But it's just such a wonderful occasion. So that's next. Oh, gosh. I mean, we have, of course, some really important races, judges' races in particular coming up here in Pennsylvania. So I know that as far as politics is concerned, that is on the forefront of our minds, at least those of us up north. We also have some county judges' races that we're very concerned about as well. And so I think that everybody is intent on enjoying Christmas with the family, enjoying Hanukkah with the family, and then getting right back to work on January 1st because, you know, we understand we cannot let go of this great momentum that we've built over the last few years, and we need to make sure that this victory that we've achieved is enduring through 2025 and beyond.
And that's why it's important for Republicans who this year, look, we took baby steps this year, and thankfully it was enough. But when I say we took baby steps, that was in reference to mail-in ballots.
Mm.
You know, and as long as mail-in ballots exist, we need to use every means available to cast our votes and to make our methods heard. So we made these steps. Everybody that voted by mail this year will take and receive an application from either their county or their state for next year. It's important that you take and return those applications, request the mail-in or absentee ballots, and then you vote
right.
in these municipal elections because typically they're much lower turnout, you know, and Democrats have had such a humongous lead in the use of those mail-in ballots. That's why they've been winning these statewide judicial races. That's
right.
why they have these majorities. We need to take and address that.
Yes, sir.
You know, it can't start soon enough. So I urge you folks, you know, to do that and to continue to build. Now, JD, you talked about how excited you are to go to D.C. to see President Trump inaugurated, but we have other things going on. On January 3rd, Dave McCormick, Senator-elect McCormick, will be sworn in the United States Senate.
That's right.
On January 21st, our three row officers,
mm-hmm.
you know, Attorney General-elect Dave Sunday, Treasurer-elect Stacey Garrity, and Auditor General-elect Tim DeFore will be sworn in Harrisburg. So January is going to be an exciting month for us.
Certainly.
And I can tell you, you know, so that's for the parties and the celebrations, the recognition, the payoff,
yeah.
the return on investment from all the hard work
mm-hmm.
we've done in the last couple of years. But it's also going to be exciting because I believe President Trump's first 100 days.
Yes.
Are going to be something that nobody has ever seen before.
And he's already alluding to it in that in the hours after he takes his oath of office, he will yep. be signing executive orders to get things moving along. And I think that the whole world is on the edge of their seat looking forward to seeing exactly what it is that
right.
this man's going to do. And, you know, we don't have to guess so much, though, Sam. I just want to remind some folks of that about what those first 100 days are going to look like. because we already lived it. We saw what President Trump was able to do in his first 100 days whenever he first took office in 2016. And so we're very much looking forward to the encore. And I think that this is the only time that we can say that the second version or the second series is going to be better than the first,
right? Yeah, the sequel
is
better than the first. Yes. And that's because one of the things I think that's impressed me the most about President Trump 2.0 is that, you know, rather than he's not out in the media, you know, certainly they have to cover some things, but he is hard at work in Mar-a-Lago, meeting with folks, laying out the vision for the things that they want to accomplish, how they're going to execute it, because they recognize you get midterms 2 years from the time he gets elected, okay? Mm-hmm. So you really have an 18-month period or window there to get as much done as you can. And that's why, JD, that's why in the first segment, you know, I was talking about Republicans need to get on board and stop fighting with each other about the minutia. Do the things we need to do to get President Trump's agenda passed, because President Trump's agenda is America's agenda.
Absolutely.
You know, so I mean, I'm again very excited.
Yes, and great cabinet appointments as well. Let's not forget too.
Yes,
he's surrounding himself with an all-star team, and I think what's magnificent about this the sequel that you so eloquently put it as is that you'll notice that these cabinet picks are not your they're not all your everyday run-of-the-mill DC types, right? Now, many of them have credentials that certainly make them great picks, but they're not all just giant donors. They're not all just folks who are holdovers from previous administrations to fill these positions. These are individuals that were hand-selected by President Trump and his team of dedicated individuals who are making sure that he is going to surround himself with a team that is fully on board with the America First agenda that we all have elected him to fulfill. And we can't wait to see that. I'm really interested in seeing how it is that the United States Senate is going to treat a lot of those individuals. But going back to Elon Musk and X, it seems to me that the message has been heard loud and clear by the American public that we demand that these senators confirm these appointments so that we can make sure that we're getting this agenda fulfilled, because otherwise we are going to have a really tough time in trying to get things done here over the next 18 months after he takes the oath of office.
Yeah, earlier this year, the new county executive, Sarah Innamorato, brought in her county manager. In August, and people were asking me, how am I going to vote? And now I asked him questions. I had the opportunity to meet with him, but I said I was going to vote for him because the executive deserves to have their team in place. You know, they're accountable for the results or lack of results that they deliver.
Right.
You know, the Senate should not be standing in the way of giving President Trump his team. And that's what's so exciting about this term here. He's already made the cabinet announcements, picks. They're already down there meeting with the senators and things like that. So one of the things that handicapped him in 2016 or 2017, you know, was they were coming into office but didn't have all of these things buttoned down.
Right.
Today, you know, they're buttoned down.
Yes, sir.
Right? So he wants to hit that day one.
Yeah. He's hitting the ground running.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, again, that's another reason why I'm so excited about what's going to happen. Now, hey, here in Pennsylvania, PAGOP, you know, news folks, Lawrence Tabus, who's the current chairman of the PAGOP, had a conference call last week and announced to everyone that he was not going to run for re-election. So that brought up, created an opening. There's a gentleman, Ted Christian, great guy.
Love him.
Great,
fantastic.
Ted's a great guy.
That's an America First patriot right there, let me say.
But Ted was, he had announced that he was going to run. And then Greg Rothman, state senator and
Marine. Semper Fi.
Okay, Semper Fi. He came out and said he was going to run. Greg picked up a tremendous amount of immediate support. He and Ted met, and Ted announced that he's not going to pursue the position because he believes that unity is what's most important right now, to celebrate and build on these victories that we had, you know, than to focus on something that may cause internal division or divide. So, you know, can't thank Ted Christian enough.
Yes, he's to be commended.
For putting the future of the party and the Commonwealth
absolutely
ahead of his own interest. And
Well, let me say this, too.
He's going to play a role somewhere.
I was going to say exactly. Yep. No matter where we see Mr. Christian, we know for a fact that he is going to do his utmost to fulfill those duties to the best of his abilities, and that we all have confidence in his service and dedication to us, the people, and to the America First agenda. And so kudos to him. That is he's a great guy, and I wish him all the best.
Yeah, same here. And you know, Heather, so I'm certain those aren't going to be the only changes that we hear about here as we move forward. Because, you know, with elections like this also come opportunities.
Right.
You know, so we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, well, I'm just so excited to have you on the show, JD, and give you the opportunity, or give our listeners the opportunity to hear from you. Because, again, I think there are big things and a bright future ahead for you, you know, and your family.
Thank you, sir.
And, folks, everyone listening here, I mean, you don't have the advantage of sitting in here and seeing this very dapperly dressed, you know, Marine. I mean, talk about squared away. He can tell. This is a guy whose shoes were spit-shined and brass was polished, okay? You know, I mean, covered with starch.
Thank you,
okay?
Sir. Thank you.
Not like, you know.
No.
Some of us who struggled.
No, that's okay. Okay. You know, you were talking about your grandmother earlier, and I was just thinking, and this is probably why I always leave the house dressed like this. My Nana would give me a good scuff in the face if she ever saw me leaving the house and not looking like the gentleman that she had raised me to be. And so, you know, I think maybe I'm still scared of that she's going to pop out somewhere and say, "What's the matter with you?" You know, so.
What's the matter with you?
Seriously. Yeah, yes. So. But thank you. It's been a great pleasure, sir. Thank you.
No, it's exciting. You know, now, let me ask you, in my family, my dad was the youngest of five, and we used to go to my grandparents every Sunday for Sunday dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and this is back, my grandmother made her own pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean made it by taking and putting box pasta.
Right.
I mean, she made the pasta.
Yes, sir.
And the sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just the whole bit. And she taught my mother. You know, my mother was Irish. She taught my mother how to.
Mm-hmm.
To make it. And I mean, they would put the pot of sauce on the stove, and you'd have the meatballs in there. You'd have pork chops dropped in. You'd have sausage.
It was the best.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You couldn't beat it.
And I got to sit next to my grandfather,
and
he didn't allow me. Yeah, it's a good thing we didn't have CYF in those days. But he would allow me to have a little pony bottle of Rolling Rock.
Yep.
You know?
Sure.
I mean, that was his that was his thing, and I was with Grandpap. It was special. Yeah. I mean, those are the times that you remember. Those are the things that that matter in life, and it's all about family.
And I hope I can give that to my daughter's coming in February, and I think about those moments that I had with my grandparents and parents around the dinner table on Sunday and at holidays, the seven fishes we do on Christmas Eve and midnight mass, and I can't wait to continue those traditions with my family.
Yeah, no, it's I'm certain that you will, and your daughter's going to be very fortunate.
Thank you, sir.
You know,
Thank you.
I'm excited for you and for your family here now. You know, we're here in the holidays. You know, all of our folks here are going to be celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, and whatever else, you know, they may choose to. But folks, spend some time with your families. Enjoy them. I talked to a guy one time who told me, and he was talking about how important families are in your loved ones. And he said, he's never known a man on his deathbed that said, "Bring me my awards or my trophies or my proclamations." He goes, you know, you want to talk to, and you want to see the people that you love, right? And I think just that little thought, just thinking about that, brings forth how important families are.
It's a good reminder.
And your loved ones. And that's why you spend the time with your children and your parents. And
it's always fleeting, isn't it?
Oh, too often, right?
Yep.
Too often. So, folks, here we are at the end of the year. We've had a successful election here. We're going into next year. And, JD, you were talking about the judicial races up in your area.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have a bunch here in Allegheny County.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have in Allegheny County is finding great Republican candidates to run for judge. Because, first of all, you know, if you're an attorney, you get it through law school, you're pretty smart.
Right.
Okay. So folks who have the aspiration to be a judge and are attorneys, you know, they register as a Democrat.
Right.
Even if they lean to the conservative side. And if you're a Republican, you register and you're working as an attorney in Allegheny County, you're making too much money.
Right.
You know, in corporate America.
Yes, sir.
As a general counsel, you know, for a big firm or for a company.
Right.
And you're like, hey, I'm not
why would you leave?
A paycheck.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. You know, hey, I'm driving a Jaguar. I got all kinds of stuff here. I'm going to take and do this.
Sure.
But so we're going to have some decisions to make here. We have a big mayor's race.
Yes. I heard that.
It's taking place here. Yes. Ed Gainey is being challenged by County Controller Corey O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, that is going to be a very interesting race. And we're going to have to see what happens there. I believe that that's Mr. O'Connor's to win,
mm-hmm.
or should I say to lose, you know. But the problem that you have, you always have low turnout. And as you've seen, ladies and gentlemen, in the primaries, typically turnout is low, but the true believers come out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how these progressives have been able to gain a foothold.
Right.
That in Allegheny County, Democrats have almost a 2-to-1 voter registration advantage. So what happens is if they typically vote for whoever the Democrat is on the ticket. So if these progressives are able to knock off a moderate Democrat,
mm-hmm.
you know, or how about a sensible, practical Democrat
sure.
in the primary, then the progressive most likely is going to sail to election in the fall. And that needs to change. So all you folks out there with independent leaning or Democrat, you know, friends, tell them how important it is to show up in this primary election and to cast their vote for somebody that will turn the water fountains on, will actually hire more police, will take and get rid of the homeless encampments and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So JD, we got 2 minutes left. Sure. What would you like to say to our listeners here?
Well, that's a really great place to leave off here, Sam. You know, we talked about the judicial races, but I just want to mention that it is my belief that as much as I love President Trump and, you know, the fact that we're installing a Republican senator and great row officers, et cetera, the fact is, my opinion is that it's on the local level. It's your mayors, your councilmen, your county commissioners, state representatives, school board members. You know, those races are coming up here as well, and we need to make sure that we are showing up not just for presidential elections, but we're showing up in the off years as well. If we want to enact change and we want to see the country change as a whole, then we need to start with our own backyards. We can only transform the nation if we're willing to uproot the foundation here on the ground level, mm-hmm. and start to lay the bricks for a stronger future. And that starts with these local races. So I implore you, please go out with that same passion that you did here during the presidential cycle, and go out and do your duty as a citizen of the United States. And don't take advantage or take for granted, rather, excuse me, this great blessing that we have to participate in our electoral processes.
Folks, you heard there from JD, and this is going to be our last show until Christmas or Hanukkah. But both fall on the same day here next Wednesday. So, folks, until then, I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah. And we'll be back next week, you know, after Christmas. Hopefully the Steelers will be able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs and Netflix will be able to handle the streaming, right? But until then, folks, that's all for us today on The Elephant in the Room here on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Have a great weekend.